Our lesson this morning is on Psalm 92, 1 to 15, praising God for his grace as signified in the Sabbath day. God called the nation Israel to observe the Sabbath in one of his important Ten Commandments. It's actually found in Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. And of note, that day was to be a day of rest and refreshment, in contrast to the pagan world's view of the seventh day. So Israel's observance of it, as reflected in the 92nd Psalm here, is an important testimony of God's grace. We'll look at that in a little bit. So we view this psalm in light of its historical and cultural setting for insight and application for us. I'd like to look to the Lord in prayer, and we'll get into his word. Father, we are so grateful for the privilege that you grant us to be able to meet together, to fellowship around the word of God. We thank you for the indwelling presence of the Spirit of God, who is our teacher, our paraclete, the one who runs alongside us to help us. We ask, Father, that as we get into the word this morning, that we would understand it and be able to use it, and that by the power of God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, we'll look at it from the King James Version first, and then we'll get into the Hebrew text. Psalm 92. It is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. To show forth thy loyal love in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is they that shall be destroyed forever. But thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Mine eye also shall see my desire on my enemies, and mine ear shall hear my desire upon the wicked that rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing, to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, or my rock cliff, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Okay, the introductory remarks of this psalm actually comprise verse 1 of the Hebrew text, so we're going to stay with the numbering format of the English Bible. But you'll notice the introduction, since it is part of the Hebrew text, notice it's a psalm or song for the Sabbath day. It's very important. So we're translating the psalm, then we'll look at the application. Verse 1, it is agreeable, wholesomely good. The word tov is used in Genesis 1 when God created the universe, and it was tov. It was good. We would translate wholesome because the universe was not only good, but it was balanced, and all the environments worked together. So it is wholesomely good to give thanks to Yahweh and to sing praises unto your name, O Most High. To show forth in the morning your loyal love and your faithfulness in the evening. Upon an instrument of 10 strings, upon the harp, with music on the lyre. For you have made me glad, not glad, I'm sorry for misspelling that, O Yahweh, through your deeds in history, as opposed to works of creation. The deeds here are po'al. When God created, the Hebrew word was bara. But this is Poal. These are his works that occur in history. I will triumph in the works of your hands. How great are your works, O Yahweh! How very deep are your thoughts! A dull-hearted, that would be a spiritually insensitive man, does not know this. Neither does a fool understand this. Remember, the word fool in Hebrew means a person who is morally deficient. That though the wicked spring up like grass and all evil doers flourish, they will be perpetually destroyed. But you, emphatic pronoun in verse 8, but you, O Yahweh, are exalted eternally. For behold your enemies, O Yahweh, before behold your enemies will perish. All doers, sorry for, should be an R in there, all doers of iniquity will be scattered as when a military force retreats in disarray. You have exalted my horn, that's a reference to strength, like that of the wild ox. Olive oil has been poured out upon me. That would be in honor or in callings to ministries. They would anoint people with olive oil. My eyes have seen the defeat of my adversaries. My ears have heard the rout of my wicked foes. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Planted in the house of Yahweh, they will flourish in the courts of our Elohim. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay full of sap and luxuriant with foliage. The word fat, they're actually full of sap and luxuriant with foliage. Okay, proclaiming that Yahweh is upright. He is my rock cliff. This is for a high ground for protection and warfare. And there is no injustice in him. Well, this is a remarkable psalm for a Sabbath day. In view of its context. When we look at a Sabbath day, we think of the Jewish Sabbath that was kept from Friday at sunset till Saturday at sunset. It was the day of rest. Often Christians think that the day of rest is actually Sunday. There actually is no day of rest for the church. Christians have developed the Sunday, but the day of rest was originally designed for Friday at sunset to Saturday at sunset. But Israel's view of the seventh day was very different from the pagan world, and that's why it stood out. That's why God wanted them to keep it, because of what it signified. The psalm's introductory notes clarify this was a psalm for the Sabbath day, the day God recalled resting and hallowing following his 6 days of created work. So he directed Israel to observe it as a day of rest and refreshment, that Israel's people thus enter into God's rest. If I go back to Exodus chapter 31 and verse 17, after talking about the Sabbath, the Lord says, "It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed." Now that sounds strange, because when God created, the Bible says God said, and it was. The easiest thing in the world to do is just to say something. And so God waits for another 24 hours and, okay, now let there be, ta-da, and all of a sudden there is. But God rests on the seventh day and is refreshed. We would say refreshed. He hardly said anything for 6 days. But nevertheless, God was signaling that he wanted man to be refreshed on that rest day. See? God wanted man to rest. Now, in view of the ancient Near East, this observance testified of God's grace, that's his unmerited favor to man. Why? Pagan man in that region viewed the gods as his slave masters and himself as a slave. And the seventh day was a day of bad luck when he was to afflict himself, avoid pleasures, and refrain from performing important work, for the work would not prosper. Dr. Walkie in his work, Creation and Chaos, brings this out. He also cites James Pritchard, a great big thick book from Princeton University on ancient Near Eastern texts, which they quote the vast majority of texts that have been discovered in the ancient Near East, secular as well as other words. And then Naburn M. Sarna, I think this is a doctoral dissertation on understanding Genesis, I'm not sure. So the psalmist's praise of God on the Sabbath for his loyal love and his faithfulness to him testify of Israel's God as gracious to man versus the oppressive despotism of the pagan world's gods. See, the pagan world would say, what? You're going to keep the seventh day as a holy day? Give me a break. It's a day of bad luck. It's a day in which the gods, if anything, they demonstrate their anger at you. But Israel's God is very different. He says, no, on that seventh day, I don't want anybody to work. I want you to rest. I want you to be refreshed. I'm not going to act like a despotic slave master. I'm going to act as a benevolent dictator, as a kind father. So this is why it was so important for Israel to keep the Sabbath, because it was a testimony to the entire pagan world that says, hey, our God is a God who gives us rest. He's a God of grace. your gods are browbeaters. They whip you. They're slave masters. And so it was meant to be a testimony of Israel's God that the pagan world might come to Israel's God and believe in Israel's God and find peace and rest and joy. So you see, the character of God has never changed. The character of God in the Old Testament is the same as the character of the God of the New Testament. He's a God of grace, a God of unmerited favor. Now, we have a passage in the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 to 10, where the author of Hebrews brings this out. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left of us of entering into God's rest, any of you should seem come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, and he's quoting back to Psalm 95:11, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spoke in a certain place of the seventh day in this wise, this is Genesis 2:2, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remains that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached did not enter in because of unbelief. Again he limits a certain day, saying in David, this is in Psalm 95:7, today, after such a long time, as it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterwards have spoken of another day. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. So the whole idea of a Sabbath rest that began at creation and was carried into Israel's history, the principle still applies to us today. We don't keep the Sabbath. We don't keep the Fridays from sunset to Saturday sunset. But God wants us to enter into his rest. And God's rest is where we stop our own works of trying to please God. We rest on the finished work of Christ, and then we just simply do what God assigns us to do. What does God assign us to do? Well, we all have spiritual gifts. God wants us to use the spiritual gift that he's assigned each one of us in that unique area where he wants us to minister, and we're supposed to serve him in that area. I made a mistake as a younger Christian thinking that anything I could try to do, I was responsible to do, and so I was taking a lot of responsibility on myself, and the Lord consistently had to correct that and said, Don, I didn't call you to do all this. What I called you to do is this one job. You focus on this job, let me worry about the rest. And I've come to find out that God is not a slave master at all, even when it comes to ministry. He's very kind, he's very considerate, and he wants us to work just within the realm that he has us. So the Christian life, in a very real sense, should be a life of rest, where we are resting in God's work for us. On the Sabbath, Jesus got into, as you know, a lot of discussions about the Sabbath day with the religious leaders of his day. And in Mark chapter 2, verse 27, Jesus said, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. See, in Jesus' day, they had made people slaves to the Sabbath day. You couldn't do this, couldn't do that. If a woman was wearing a wig on the Sabbath day and it fell off, it was work for her to turn around and pick the wig up and put it back on her head, so she had to go without that wig. You couldn't boil an egg in the hot sand on a Sabbath day. I mean, they came up with all these little rules and regulations, which made the Sabbath an onerous burden. And Jesus said that was not the design of the Sabbath at all. It was supposed to be a day of refreshment. God wanted you to rest. He wanted you to relax and enjoy his grace. So it's very, very important. The psalmist praised God on the Sabbath day as the gracious God who is able and dependable to help his people in their current lives meet the challenges they face in their lives from evil, oppressive parties that they face. He is able and willing to give his people real rest on the day of rest by his goodness and his grace. So may we praise God for his grace to us and rely on his gracious provisions in our lives. May we enter the spiritual rest that is promised in Hebrews 4, 1 to 10 by ceasing from our self-help efforts to do God's will. God wants us to do his will by relying on the Spirit, and he wants us to do the assignment that he's given us in the area of our gifting and in the area that he's assigned us in the local church ministry, and he wants us to excel in that area and to rejoice and to rest in him and to relax in him. This morning, my wife showed me a paper that apparently had been discovered. I don't know. I think maybe when the people were working up in the balcony, they found some papers, some old papers. And one of them was a letter that was printed to this congregation back in June of 1983. Okay, we're going back a ways, all right? We still had Nepog Christian Academy, and we were in the process of the throes of wondering how we were going to keep the thing open. And we needed to have like 60 students in order to pay for the salaries of the teachers, and only 20 were registered. Okay, so on this piece of paper, it was written that the church board, this had been Scott Anderson, Dave Daggett, and myself, had decided that we were going to have a congregational meeting to vote on whether we could keep the school open or not, that the school committee wanted to keep it open, but we were going to be running $12,000 in the red per year if we did it. And as a board, we didn't know if we could keep it going. So anyway, the day in which they were supposed to vote was on June 26th. And that day, my wife and I were unable to make it. We actually didn't vote. The congregation voted to close the school, but we were not here for the vote. But it happened on June 26th. We weren't here because my wife had a miscarriage that day. And of course, we were tied up with that. And Nadine just shared with me this morning, she says, that's Zachary's birthday. That's my grandson's birthday. Joanna's mother's back there. And who would have thought that on that date, June 26th, God, you know, had all of these events in mind. Zach's birthday on that day, and that was the same day Nadine lost her baby, it would have been the fourth child we would have had. And we were not able to be here for the vote. In retrospect, that was a tremendous relief because there was a lot of criticism that went around about the vote and so forth. But we were able to say, my wife and I were not here for the vote. The congregation voted to close the school. We weren't even here for the vote. So we never did get involved in the vote. And so we took it as of the Lord. That's what the Lord wanted. He wanted the school closed, even without our vote. But in looking back on it, it causes me to think about how much the Lord wants us to rest. At the time, the whole experience was very traumatic. But in retrospect, from God's perspective, he had wanted us to relax and to rest. He had everything in control. He had things timed in our lives and so forth. So I don't know what you're facing in your life this week or even right now, but I do know that what God wants us to do is to enter into that rest that he designed. It's a spiritual rest that God has where we stop trying to do our own efforts and we just relax, rest on God's work for us, and then we just get busy doing what he assigns us to do at that moment and for that day. And then we can relax in the Lord. Okay, we'll open up the lesson to you. If you have some questions or feedback on this subject, please feel free to interact with us. If there's something